we may, rather, that we are able to, Lord, gather together to raise our voices to you, Lord, singing songs that adore you, singing songs that praise you and honor you, Lord. Lord, thank you, Jesus, Lord, for your word. And Lord, it's your word that strengthens our faith, Lord. Faith comes from hearing your word. So we open up, Lord, your word, that our faith may be strengthened and established in you alone. So teach us by the power of your spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. We're finishing Acts chapter 4 today. Last week, we saw the first 18 verses, and I left us, Lord, with a challenge of two questions. And I hope during the week you thought about those questions and you attempted to answer them. The first question was that, how do you respond when your faith is attacked, when you're criticized, when you're mocked, when people laugh at you and ridicule you because you love Jesus, or because you've actually done something that is helpful to people? The second question that I asked you last week was, how much time do you spend with Jesus? And the subsequent question was, does it show? How much time do you spend with Jesus? And does it show? In these verses, verses 19 to 37, we have an answer. The answer to the first question is stand. Stand in Jesus. And we're going to see these men standing in Jesus. We're going to see them spend time with Jesus in prayer. After being threatened not to continue preaching the name of Jesus, they go and tell all the other Christians about what had happened, and tell you what, they pray. They do not scatter. They do not act in fear and do not cry. They do not wail. They do not mourn about anything. They stand and pray for more strength and more power in Jesus. In the first few verses, from verses 19 to 23, we see them stand in Jesus Christ. Let's read together. But Peter and John answered and said to them, whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than to God, you judge. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding no way of punishing them because of the people, since they all glorified God for what had been done. For the man was over 40 years old, on whom this miracle of healing had been performed. And being let go, they went to their own companions and reported all that the chief priests and the elders had said to them. Who do you choose to listen to when your faith in Jesus is contrary to the threats of men? When God's commands are attacked by the insecurities of men, these men tell the rulers and the religious leaders that, you know what, you'll have to deal with that. Whether it's the right thing to do, to obey God or to obey you, Peter is basically telling them the answer. It's like, you know the answer, and you'll have to deal with that answer. We are going to obey God. We're not going to obey you. We cannot, in verse 20, but speak the things which we have seen and heard. Peter is saying one thing. That, you know what, you religious leaders, rulers of Jerusalem, we did not make this up. This is not something that we created in our own wisdom and strength. This is the truth that we stand to be witnesses of. We cannot stop but speak about what we've seen and heard. They had heard Jesus. They had seen Jesus. They had walked with Jesus for over 3 years. And he tells them, you know, you cannot stop us. We just have to declare the truth that we see, we've seen, the truth that we hear, the truth that we've heard, the truth that we see, the truth they had seen. It's Jesus Christ. Don't you like the boldness? Would we all respond in this way when our faith is attacked? In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, remember Jesus had told them, you're going to be my witnesses. You shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, and here they are. being witnesses of the truth right there in Jerusalem, in the temple. In the book of Daniel, chapter 3, three teenage Jewish boys were being threatened by a fire that had been warned that if you do not obey the idol of Nebuchadnezzar, the idol of Babylon, we will burn you up. You will burn. Do you know what the three Hebrew boys say to their bosses? Daniel chapter 3, verse 17 to 18. If that's the case, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us from your hand, O king. But if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your idols, your gods, nor will we worship the golden image which you have set up. Peter and John, and many examples in the Bible, including three Jewish boys, three young men, stand to declare that we will not do something wrong because of the pressure that you're imparting on us. We will declare the truth and we will stand. We live in an age where there is so much pressure to be lukewarm Christians, right? We look all around us and there is more compromise than ever before. Christians bowing down to the pressures of the world. In politics, you're not supposed to say that it's only Jesus who is king, right? Any politicians in the house? You can't say that. It's politically incorrect. In business, tax evasion is so big. I mean, do you know of any businessman in town, like the top 10 richest business in town, who is not really, really a thief of some sort? A tax evader? Their employees are always underpaid and late paid. I mean, government itself hasn't paid civil servants for 4 months. Is it because they don't have money? No. I think they took it to Sudan, right? Christians need to stand. And don't you think there are Christians in politics, in government? And they're there? Don't you hear them defending lies just because they want to please their boss? It is very sad. So sad. And we get to be awakened to be strong Christians by the example that we see in these men. We will not do something wrong, they say. We will declare the truth and we will not stop. I've heard about people being pressured to tell lies at the workplace, maybe to sleep with their boss for promotion or for the job, actually. Let's be those who stand and say, we will not do something wrong. In fact, we will continue declaring the truth that we know. Like these three Jewish boys, we will not bow down to that golden image. And it's interesting how they say that, well, even if God does not rescue us from the fiery furnace, we'll still serve him. Most of the time we think, okay, because I'm doing something right, because I'm following Jesus, everything should be smooth, my life should be fine. But the three Hebrew boys told their boss, you know what, first of all, we'll not do that. And second, even if our God does not rescue us, we'll not do it. We'd rather burn up and die than bow down to an idol. We would rather starve, but stand in the truth. In Romans chapter 13, verse 1, the Bible teaches that we should be subject or submissive to governing authorities, but when governing authorities block us from pursuing Jesus, it's a blank no, right? We should be bold, just like Peter and John and the rest of the Christians in the early church, to say, you know what? No, we will not bow down to your pressures. We will pursue Jesus, and we will declare Jesus. In Acts chapter 5, verse 29, the next chapter, Peter and John, again, were pursued and arrested, and the angels freed them from prison. They get arrested, and at their trial, they told the accusers in Acts chapter 5, verse 29, we ought to obey God, not men. When our faith is tried, when our love for Jesus is mocked and laughed at, when we are pressured to compromise, to doing something wrong or not doing something right, we should stand in Christ and say, no, we will not. Sorry. They had nothing to do against this man, no punishment, just a threat. Because tell you what, everybody could see that something good had happened. A man who had been crippled for 40 years from birth is able to walk. That is incredible. That is good. They stood in Jesus Christ. In verses 24 to 31, they are freed. They go narrate what had happened to their companions. There we read, so when they had heard what had happened, they raised their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, you are God who made heaven and earth and the sea, and in all, rather than all that is in them, who by the mouth of your servant David have said, why did the nations rage and the people plot vain things? The kings of the earth took their stand and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For truly against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, we are gathered together to do whatever your hand and your purpose determined before to be done. Now, Lord, verse 29, look at your threats and grant your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word by stretching your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And verse 31, and when they had prayed, the place where they had been assembled was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. They stood in faith, and they weren't going to stop. The second thing they do is pray. Now, it was notable they had been with Jesus earlier on. The rulers observed. They are threatened. They stand in the faith. They go back and spend more time with Jesus in prayer. These guys are unstoppable, right? A second response, as we see from these men, is the example of prayer, the response of prayer. That when we get attacked and pressured and persecuted, we stand confidence in Jesus. Secondly, we pray. We ask God for strength, for boldness. We ask God that his signs and wonders and miracles may continue to be performed through us as they ask. We ask for wisdom. They pray to the Lord of all creation, the God of all power. They said, they are in verse 25, who by the mouth of your servant David have said that. They quoted Psalms, and it was a psalm that predicted, Psalm 2, that predicted that at one point nations of the world, nations of the earth, would go against Jesus Christ, would go against God. They would reject him and actually try to fight him. And we see them praying in line with what God says. They knew that. They had been reading the Psalms. They knew that at one point, there are some people who are going to come against them. And in coming against them, they are coming against God himself. So who do they petition? God. They're like, God, you are powerful. You made everyone. And we know it that some people are going to come against you. And God, they're coming against Jesus. They already did. They killed Jesus on the cross. Pontius Pilate and Herod did that. And in so doing, they're actually fulfilling your purposes there in verse 28. And now, God, give us more boldness. Jesus had promised them in John chapter 14, verse 14, if you ask anything in my name, that is in my will, I will do it. So they ask God, we need more power now. It's time to get more powerful in declaring the gospel. With boldness, Lord, help us speak your word, was their prayer. How many of us ask for boldness if we're going through a hard time? How many of us ask for strength? Right? Most of the time we ask for what? Breakthrough. Right? We want God to take us out of the situation all the other way around, and then we run off again, right? These guys are saying, God, take us right through this difficulty, right through the middle. We want to go right through to declare your truth, and all we need is boldness. We don't need breakthrough. God, give us strength for the moment, boldness for the task. They didn't ask for their comfort. They didn't even ask for their security. God, give us more policemen to protect us. God, give us more boldness and more power. God, stretch out your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. They're basically asking God for his will to be done. God, your will is that these men hear the gospel and they get saved. So Lord, please do it. In 2 Chronicles chapter 1, verse 10, Solomon asked for wisdom. When he was faced with the challenge to lead God's people, all he could ask for was wisdom. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 1, Paul would ask that these Christians pray that the word of the Lord may run swiftly and be glorified, just as it had already been done. The content of their prayer, please notice with me, the content of their prayer is, God, do it. It's not, God, just protect us and keep us from the enemy, and God, we need breakthrough. Said, God, your kingdom come, your will be done. Your kingdom has to be extended. Give us boldness. More people need to hear this. More people need to be healed spiritually and physically. So God, stretch out and use us to accomplish it. I think that should be our prayer. That God would continue using each one of us to extend his kingdom. Now, when you read the Psalms, I don't know if you've read chapter 58, verse 6, or Psalm 35, verse 6. You know what David prayed for? He prayed for the death of his enemies. In Psalm 58, verse 6, break their teeth in their mouth, O God. Like that? Psalm 35, verse 6, let their way be dark and slippery, and let the angel of the Lord pursue them. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 to 7, be anxious for nothing. Don't be afraid. But in everything, in prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, and we can replace that word peace with anything, with the boldness of God, the strength of God, the confidence of God, any word fits right there, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. All they prayed for was, God, may you please use us to extend your kingdom. May you please use us to reach out to your people. May you please use us to heal, to perform miracles, signs, and wonders, so people are freed from darkness to light. People are saved. When I was a younger Christian, we used to sing this song called Stand Up for Jesus. Did you? Maybe you should sing it sometimes. Stand up for Jesus. Stand in his strength alone. The arm of flesh will fail you. You dare not trust in your own. Put the gospel armor, each piece put on with prayer. Where duty calls or danger, be never wanting there. Stand in Jesus. Stand in prayer. And what happens? The ground on which they were standing shook. God manifested his presence by shaking, particularly where they were. And God was basically saying, I have you guys in my hands, and I'm going to use you. God answered them right there. This wasn't an earthquake that shook the entire Jerusalem. They were just in this place praying. And God assured them that I am with you by shaking the ground on which they were standing. In fact, God was telling them, I'm powerful. I can shake this ground. I'm with you guys. I've got your back. Keep going. In verses 32 to 37, they stand united. First of all, they stood in Christ. They stood in their faith. They stood in prayer. And three, they stand united. Verses 32 to 37. Now when the multitude of those who believed were of one heart and one soul, neither did anyone say that any of the things he possessed was his own, but they had all things in common, and with great power the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them. Nor was there anybody among them who lacked, for all who were possessors of lands or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of the things that were sold and laid them at the apostles' feet, and they distributed to each as anyone had need. And Joseph was also named Barnabas by the apostles, which is translated the son of encouragement, a Levite of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. We see that these men stood united. They were together. They had a deep love and care for one another. They had a very loose attachment to what they owned. Nobody claimed that everything they owned was theirs. They said, everything I own, yes, is mine, but I'm going to share it with everybody who is in need. Be kindly affectionate to one another. Romans 12, 11 to 13. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor, giving preference to one another, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. Now that is a lot of exhortation right there in Romans chapter 12, 11 to 13. Let's be kindly connected to one another with love. It begins right there. They were united because they loved one another. They cared for one another. They preferred others more than themselves. They did not just look at their needs. They also cared to meet the needs of the others, not lagging in diligence, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. The Bible says that great grace was upon all of them. God poured down his favors upon them. As a result of their boldness, as a result of their standing in their faith, as a result of their prayer, as a result of their unity, God was like, I'm going to pour out my favors upon you. Great grace. May God pour down his favors upon us, upon his church today, upon each one of us. May great grace be upon us. In fact, Paul would end almost all his writings with, the grace of the Lord be with you. May God's favors be with us. As we stand in faith, as we stand in prayer, and as we stand united, as we stand to take care of each other's needs. And again, there's a little example from these people about giving. I think that they knew that their life in Jerusalem was very short-lived, and they only had to get out and continue preaching. So they looked into the future, they realized, you know what, we may not be in Jerusalem very soon, so it's as we would rather sell off all our plots and land and move on to Samaria and all the other parts of the world, declaring the gospel. So they did that, and they brought the money to the apostles to distribute as need be. I'm told there's a place in town, I don't know exactly where, in Kampala or outside Kampala, where the church is instructed and commanded to bring all the offerings at the pastor's feet. So if you are in such a place, I would ask you to bring the money right here. There is so much abuse about giving, but That time is actually, they gave it to the authority of the apostles so that the apostles would distribute to the needs of the people there, the needs of the church there, that young church. It's an example of, you know, giving in worship and giving practically to meet others' needs. And you have the privilege to do that here every Sunday. You don't have to bring the money to my feet. You can put it in the bags, or there's a box back there. You can write a check, or if you want a bank details, you can do a wire transfer. We can give you those details. The point is that they really were deeply concerned about one another's welfare, that they actually got rid of what they owned to meet each other's needs. 2 Corinthians 9:7. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. They were united in purpose. They continued declaring the gospel. They continued testifying of the resurrected Jesus in verse 33. One of the things that united them is that they had the same goal. Their goal was to be Jesus' witnesses, and that defined their unity. And as Christians, we have different gifts, we have different approaches to meeting needs, we have different approaches to declaring the gospel. We are different people. We live in different locations. We meet in different locations. One thing unites us. We are all trying to be witnesses, or we are actually being witnesses of the resurrected Jesus Christ. So there is diversity even in our unity. People go different places with different approaches and different methods. It's the same word. The problem comes when people try to preach another gospel, another Jesus, and have different intentions in doing that. That can cause a lot of disunity within the body of Christ when a certain group kind of wants to do something different with a different motive. And that has happened a lot in the history of the church. There's so much division. And sometimes it's good division, because you really have to break away from those who are going the wrong direction, right? Like, you know, Peter and John, they had to tell these rulers, these religious leaders, that, you know what, you don't want to preach Jesus, we're out of this place. We will continue preaching Jesus. And there is room for actually break away when people try to compromise, can peacefully part and say, you know what, you're not preaching Jesus, we're not really having a common goal here. You want it for the money, or you want it for the fame, or for the what? I want it for God's glory, so I'll leave you alone. So there is room for actually parting ways when you see that your goals are different. So one thing that should unite us as Christians is that we are called to be witnesses. We can witness differently. We can witness in different places. We are gifted differently. We can have different approaches. But once we are sharing the same goal of being witnesses, we will remain united as we see these men united in prayer, united in purpose. I pray that we are challenged through the lives of these Christians to stand in the faith, because maybe you have experienced it, maybe you're yet to experience it. Your faith at one point will be attacked. Your trust and belief in Jesus at one point will be attacked. And you should be ready. You should resolve to stand. Stand in prayer. Pray that your enemy's teeth would be broken, like David said. That God may make their path slippery. Pray that God would strengthen you, right, through that tough ministry that you're called for. Pray that God would give you wisdom to face your accusers. Pray that God may continue using you to declare his word, his truth, and to perform signs and wonders, miracles, to heal the sick. And lastly, let's be united, right? This is an expression of unity right here, coming and worshiping the Lord together. And everybody around serving one another. Not just looking inwards for what you need on your own problems, but looking outwards to take care of others as well. Let's stand united. We have one Lord. We have a common goal to be his witnesses. There is no room for disunity. Let us stand united. Amen. Stand and pray. Lord Jesus, we avail ourselves to you, Lord. We avail our hearts to you and our minds and our feet, our entire bodies to you, Lord, to stand strong in the faith, Lord. Pray that, Lord, in whatever area of weakness, fear, that you may give us boldness, may give us strength, Lord. Give us wisdom to clearly and tactfully present your truth. Lord, make us as wise as doves and as harmless as wise as serpents and as harmless as doves, Lord, in this dangerous and wicked world. Lord, help us shine your light in this darkness. You may continue using us, your children, to reach out to your people, to take out your gospel, to bring healing to this sick world, sick of sin, and sick with so many disorders and diseases, Lord.